just out in front of us. I know we'll surely come. That eastern sky will open wide, revealing God's dear Son. And I know from here to heaven is but a twinkling of an eye. That in the midst of all His glory, we'll hear the sweetest cry. Welcome home. I knew you'd come. Everywhere you look, a friend. All the greetings will be precious from those they've loved so dear. But no mortal man has ever heard the likes of when he hears. Welcome home. I knew you'd come.
Welcome to A Few Minutes in God's Book, where we take just a few minutes to preach and teach from God's book, the King James Bible. Amen. Thank you so very much for being with me today to hear this message that I have for you, and I pray that it is a blessing to you. Amen. So, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to preach on the final part of this series on Christ's purposes. Okay, and this is dealing with a baptism. Okay, and a lot of folks, every time that they see baptism in the Bible, baptized, whatever the case may be, they automatically think that it's dealing with water, all right? And that's not always the case. This is Christ's baptism of suffering unto death. Okay, it has nothing to do with water. And this is one of the seven baptisms that are in the Bible. Okay, and with the number seven in the Bible is the number of perfection or completion. Okay. So let's go ahead and let's go to Matthew chapter 20, and I will open up my e-sword here. All right, Matthew chapter 20, and we'll read verses 17 to 24. Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 to 24. Starting in verse 17, the King James Bible says, "And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death." All right, see that? This is the context of what's coming up. Verse 19, "And shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him." There's the context again. "And the third day he shall rise again." Verse 20, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And I say unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. In verse 24, and when they heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren." Okay, so this is, the context is, Jesus' death, his crucifixion on the cross. Okay, look at Romans 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not," pay attention to this, "know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death." You see that? That is not water baptism there. That is Holy Spirit baptism. The Holy Spirit baptizes a saved person at the moment of their salvation, baptizes them into the body of Christ, the church. Okay, there's no water there. And then verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." All right, so that Holy Spirit baptism is a spiritual baptism inside. You know, water baptism is a picture of what happens inside of a person when they get saved. All right? So baptized unto death. This baptism right there is associated with Christ's death. All right, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, notice capital S, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That's Holy Spirit baptism. I've heard people say that 1 Corinthians 12:13 is the Holy Spirit calling us to water baptism, but it's not. All right, look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. And let's start in verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men. So many traditions of men in the church today, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That is spiritual circumcision there. That happens at the moment of salvation as well. Verse 12, pay attention to this. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Okay? So, what happened on that cross? Well, Christ suffered greatly, all right? And some think that Christ, when he died, he went into hell and he suffered there. He burned in hell, but that's not the case. He went to hell when he died, but what he did was he took on the sins of the whole world. He became sin for us who knew no sin on that cross. When he died, he went into hell and he dumped our sins there. And then he went over to Abraham's bosom, preached to the spirits in prison, and he led captivity captive. And the gates of hell did not prevail against them. All right? So, look at John 19. John 19, verses 28 to 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Okay, notice, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. Then verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head, and gave up the ghost. All right, now look at Psalm 16. Psalms 16, verses 8 to 11. This is David. He said, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and glory my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. So he's speaking as Christ here. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasure evermore, forevermore. All right, so now go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And let's start in verse 22. And we'll go to 27. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible they should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Okay? So Christ suffered on that cross as a man suffers in hell. Okay, remember, I thirst. Okay, look at Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. I'll show you a type and picture here. Exodus chapter 12. And this is a little bit long, so please bear with me here. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye also unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Notice a lamb. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Notice the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire. See that? Type and picture. And unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning shall ye burn with fire. Okay? So, can you imagine? I read somewhere that when they drove the nails through Jesus' hands and his feet, those nails were 7 inches long. Can you imagine that, you know, going through your hands and your feet? and what you see, you know, in paintings and whatever, you know, of Christ, you might see like one trickle of blood coming down here and one trickle of blood coming down his side where he was pierced, but that's not the case. All right, he was beaten beyond recognition. You know, those cat and nine tails, that is like a whip with like blades on the end of it, and they ripped him apart. All right, so he suffered greatly on that cross. Okay, and so also this is also pictured as deep waters and floods. Okay, look at Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verses 1 to 10. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies, wrongfully are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. All right, so he's speaking as Christ and himself, David. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy soul I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproacheth me are fallen upon me. Verse 10, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. Okay, now look at verses 13 to 18. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy. Hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem me. Deliver me because of mine enemies. So, when God drowned out the world and showed his wrath on unbelieving man and sin, he drowned them out by putting them under water. When Christ came down, he came through the universe, and there is water up there. Right? Like, take, for instance, astronauts. Astro, space. Naught. Water. Like when I was on the three ships that I was on in the Navy, you know, we would be out at sea, and sometimes they would get on the intercom, and they would say, "We are 5 nautical miles away from land, or 20 nautical miles from land," whatever the case may be. Okay, so there's water up there. So Christ comes down through that water. All right, he takes on the wrath of God. Right, and that is the cup of the Father, and goes back up. Okay, and so he called that a baptism. Okay, so Christ suffered greatly on that cross. Okay, his body went to the grave. His soul went to hell And then when he ascended, he led captivity captive. Okay, and the gates of hell did not prevail against them. Okay, and those gates, the gates of hell in Matthew 16, 18, those are literal gates and bars. It's not like satanic influence. Okay, it's literal gates and bars. Okay. Alright, and then his spirit went to the Father. Okay. He is now seated at the right hand of God. Praise God for that. Alright, and I'll say this and I'll be finished. But he is seated at the right hand of God. He's making intercession for us. But one day he's going to come back. Alright. And first of all, he's going to come into those clouds. Alright. And this is not his second coming. But he's going to come into the clouds and he's going to call us all home by name, the church. Okay. And then later on, he's going to come back to earth physically. Alright. And he's going to destroy his enemies. Alright. And so remember that the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's the gospel that we preach in this church age. It's the only gospel that saves. And it is found in 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 to 4. Alright. Okay. So that is the series on Christ's purposes. I pray that it's a help to you and a blessing to you. Alright, but before I go, let me go ahead and play a song for you. And pray that it's a blessing to you.
promise was given. I was saved by amazing grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Lord, oh Lord, I want to go to heaven. Hell is an awful, awful place. Hell is an awful, awful place.
Amen. Now, I forgot to mention at the beginning of that the title of that song is Lord, I Want to Go to Heaven. And it's sung by the Gospel Plowboys. And if you don't mind, please pray for the Gospel Plowboys, you know, that the Lord will give them opportunities, you know, to sing of God's grace and His mercy and you know, uplift Him and glorify Him, you know, and pray that they will be a blessing, you know, to those that they sing to. Amen. But hell is an awful, awful place. And you don't want to go there. You know, so how you not go there? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16:31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Amen. Put your faith and trust in Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, and His precious shed blood. Right? And you won't have to worry about going to hell. Alright. Thank you so very much for being with me today. Thank you for your prayers for me and my family, for the ministry that He's entrusted us with. Until next time, God bless you.